Welcome to yet another episode of Saffron Spice with Isha and Shivani. I'm Shivani and we are back with another episode of our podcast. Hi Isha, how's it going?
Hi Shivani and hello everyone. It's going great with me, Shivani. How are you doing? How was your week?
Week was good, although I'm lacking some serious sleep. I was up all night watching the IPL finals, so I do apologize to our listeners just in case if I do sound a little tired today, but I'm just running on adrenaline.
Well, Shivani, save that energy and the adrenaline a little bit more for the IPL part 2, the Indian Political League.
Yes. India in full election mode, right?
Absolutely. And it is that time again in our country when election is the buzzword. So before we begin, it is only fitting for us to get this out there. Why did we pick Saffron to represent us? Are we a BJP propaganda podcast? Are we Hindu fundamentalists? Who are we, Shivani?
Well, Isha, let's make it clear. This is not a propaganda podcast and we are not religious fundamentalists. But having said that, we do have our strong set of opinions which may lean towards a certain political ideology. And we are comfortable with putting our points of view out there. And we're hoping that our listeners give us a chance to tell our side of our story and to hear where we're coming from.
That's true, Shivani. You couldn't have put that better. We're not political experts. We're not journalists. We are a common set of citizens. We are the common man and we're absorbing the information that is out there. We're trying to balance our opinions out, but we definitely are talking as an audience. So, Shivani, should we dive right in and talk about how the world's largest democracy does its elections?
Yep. Largest democracy around, what is it, 900 million? Indians are heading to the polls.
Oh, yes. But wait, Shivani, can we talk about the elections?
What do you mean?
Shivani, there's this whole narrative in India against the NRIs. Everybody, you know, from stand-up comedians to political analysts to just public speakers, they are not happy with NRIs discussing politics because the whole idea is that we're not living in the country, we're not voting.
How dare
we talk about India?
Isn't that what happened with Akshay Kumar?
Oh my God.
I mean, he received a lot of slack for being a Canadian passport holder. And then, you know, recently he's come out doing that interview with Modi.
They're sort of behind his life, Shivani. They're questioning his entire existence now because they're like, why is he a Canadian passport holder? How does he get to have a conversation with Modi? I mean, it's an absurd argument, Shivani.
I mean, I would like to think that most Indians are patriotic and love their country, you know, those living in India and those abroad. Citizenship is neither a prerequisite nor a guarantee of patriotism. And Akshay Kumar, I mean, he is so socially responsible. I mean, you know, his recent movie choices to, you know, the great deal that he does for the Indian Army, the initiatives such as Bharat Ki Veer, I mean, all point towards that. He is better than perhaps what an Indian citizen would be.
I agree. He is doing a lot more for India than probably what an Indian citizen might be doing. You couldn't have said that better, Shivani.
Yeah. And what's all this slack he's receiving about this interview?
Oh my God, they are just dissecting that interview so badly because, you know, it's like, oh, his non-political interview and the fact that they talked about mangoes has become the biggest joke. But I mean, for me personally, as an audience, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed seeing the human side of Modi. I enjoyed the lighter questions about mangoes. I mean, why not? I wanted to know where he comes from.
Of course. And I think he even says, I mean, I only saw the interview in pieces, but I think he even says at the beginning of the interview, this is a non-political interview. I mean, I'm not sure what we're expecting. Akshay's not a journalist, so, you know, we shouldn't be expecting him to ask political questions. It was a apolitical interview, and personally, if I'm going to be making an informed decision about someone running my country, to be honest, I want to know what his likes and dislikes are, you know, whether he's attached to his family, whether he has friends in the opposition parties. Yeah, it's beneficial and it's nice. It's such a nice break to see, you know, something so light and something that really kind of gives us a bit of a glimpse in terms of his personality, as opposed to seeing all these, you know, the pot shots that's being thrown around between both parties.
That's true, Shivani. We are definitely getting slightly tired with the news that is out there from both the sides, extremely opposing news stories with mm-hmm. obvious leanings on each side. Yeah. I think this interview was sort of a breath of fresh air. I mean, I should not even call it an interview. I think it was just a conversation. The fact that it was probably broadcast on a news channel, that's where it went wrong. Maybe he should have done it on like Star World or something. I don't know.
Something. Yeah. True.
I think if it would have been an interview, it would have been the same sort of journalist of, again, obviously his choosing. That's what another criticism that he's getting, asking the same questions and him being a seasoned politician, giving the same diplomatic non-answers. It would not have been anything different. It would not have been anything against what's out there in the news. This was good content, Shivani. That's right.
It was. You just can't win. Yeah. No, I need to catch the whole thing. So I'll try and do that this week.
Yes, Shivani, you should definitely check it out. It's quite fun. The whole point of this conversation that we're having, Shivani, is trying to understand the political narratives that both these parties are trying to build.
Mm-hmm.
We are a podcast that sort of dissects culture. And today we are trying to dissect what are the things that make an Indian vote. What are the things that turn someone's opinion in a certain way. To do that, Shivani, we need to understand the two personas that are at play. It's not about Indian election. This election is not about a party. It's about the person. It's about Modi versus Gandhi. What are your opinions, Shivani?
It's a bit of a referendum of sorts, isn't it? I mean, he's really trying to sort of prove himself and what he's achieved and whether he's sort of worthy of being in power again. So what are the stakes here for Modi? He's a seasoned politician. He's run a successful state government, Gujarat. The model of Gujarat is impossible to ignore. I mean, what he's achieved in Gujarat is spectacular. And then on the other side, we have Rahul Gandhi. Has no political experience, has not run any successful government or campaign for that matter, and is more or less a poster child of dynasty known as Bapu or the prince.
So, Shivani, we have two opposing personalities at play, and if we just compare the personalities, it is quite obvious who's going to take the cake home. But it is about the sort of stories and the sort of sentiment that both the parties are building in the country. It happens during every election.
Yeah.
And they're both sort of putting different stories out there to build a sentiment in a way.
And just on that, look, it seemed like sort of late last year, Congress did have a bit of momentum picking up. They had something going on towards the end of last year. And then I think with really the tit-tat airstrikes with Pakistan, which took place in February of this year, really sort of shifted that focus to an area where Modi really has the upper hand, and that's national security.
That's true, Shivani. Saying not so much in Modi's favor, but they used that opportunity. The BJP used that opportunity to gain as much political leverage as possible for the elections. But the biggest issue that the opposition is sort of pulling against the BJP government right now is that of unemployment, Shivani.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it would be clear to our listeners by now that I am a supporter of Modi. But look, I'm also a logical thinker. So to everyone that's hitting Modi for the increasing unemployment rates in India, and I think Times of India claiming it to be at an all-time high, I mean, I'm asking, can we look at the population growth of India, which is pouring in, you know, 2.33 births per female on average per year? So our population has been growing so fast compared to, you know, other emerging economies. So while the growth in job opportunities have been dependent on industrial and infrastructure development, you know, as such, there has been this imbalance, but this imbalance has existed, you know, for a much longer period than 2014 to date.
And yep. There is no way in our country to record this data. I mean, a news person going to a college, like they go to like a BA or a BCom college, they stand outside the college and they're like, aapko job mila? Aapko job ab tak nahi mila. This person is a graduate and he still has not found employment. Look at the state of the country.
Yeah.
I mean, what sort of reporting and what sort of data collection technique is that, Shivani?
Is that, yeah. Look, I don't want to take away from the importance. I mean, it is a scary thought. 1 in 8 people in the world is an Indian under the age of 30. And it's fairly likely that, you know, majority of these under 30 Indian population are devastated or facing some form of unemployment. So it That's is true. A very scary thought, but it is very, it is just not proper to say that unemployment has increased during, you know, during the time that BJP has been in power. It's been a constant issue, irrespective of the government.
I think it's just that there's no sort of way, like in the West, you know, we have the unemployment benefits where people sort of register themselves to ask for these benefits. That's how they know how many unemployed people there are out there. In our country, there is no way to sort of track the number of taxes that are coming in. Accuracy. Yep. There is no way that the government is going to get the accurate data to make these numbers. I don't know where exactly these numbers of unemployment are coming from. I could be wrong. Again, I could be not looking at the right data, but I don't think there is a way for our country to calculate that data, Shivani.
Yeah. Well, I guess, I mean, in answering your initial question, Isha, the differences between Modi and Gandhi. I mean, one's a pioneer of Gujarat's development and another is a pioneer of Methi's underdevelopment. So there you
have
it.
That's true. I also don't see both the parties talking about development. Usually what happens is if the opposition is questioning the development model of the ruling party, the opposition also comes up with a solution for it. I don't see Rahul Gandhi's government coming up with a solution for anything.
Well, Rahul is still trying to learn whether or not Karnataka is a state, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So one has clear sights of all the matters and another is trying to sort out Karnataka. So, yeah. But maybe this might be a good note segue into our next topic.
Going on to the next topic, we were talking about development and we were talking about the fact that Modi has celebrated the word development both for his campaign and for what his government is doing. So Shivani, let's try to look at some of the things that he has accomplished or he has claimed to accomplish in the past 5 years of his government. Do you want to talk about the biggest shock that came in 2014 to us and how the whole jhatka of Modi government began? Demonetization.
Yeah, the cash crackdown. So this is where they withdrew what was it? 500 and 1,000 rupee notes.
Yes.
And that was basically to flash out counterfeit and black money, right?
That's correct.
So was that a success?
It was a painful process for everyone, Shivani. Having said that, I don't think it was the biggest failure our country has ever seen, as you know, the opposition is quoting for it to be.
Well, I think it's signaled a shifting mindset, right, of what Modi is capable of.
If not for Modi, no politician would have ever been able to accomplish this. And whether it was successful or not, whether the money is back in circulation or not, people are now scared of, you know, storing black money because they know that this man is crazy. He's going to come for them.
Yeah, watch out. But amongst, you know, in addition to the demonetization, Look, he's achieved a number of things. You know, he gave every Indian access to a bank account, which was revolutionary. I mean, you have millions of families that have mobile phones, but not a bank account. The 100% village electrification, that was also bringing electricity to just over 500,000 villages. I mean, again, transforming lives. The Swachh Bharat mission, which was a $20 million initiative, and you know, he delivered what, more than 100 million toilets. So more than 100 million toilets were installed. And look, that's not exactly the flush and forget mindset, is it? So
definitely, Shivani. He has most certainly accomplished a lot. Now, my problem is that nobody is really celebrating the fact that for the first time, we can actually count a list of things that a ruling government has accomplished.
Mm.
The whole narrative is still in the direction of how unsuccessful these missions were. And that's what irritates me. Because, say, for instance, you're talking about the whole fact that he built shauchalayas, he built public toilets in areas people used to have to go to the jungles. And then I was looking at this interview the other day, and the person was like, shauchalay to bana liya, but pani kahan hai? I'm like, dude, come on.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah, they're questioning what's the point of building public toilets if there's no water. But water problems have been there in our country. They're still going to be there. But isn't the fact that there's
we now have a toilet. Yeah. Oh, God. You just can't win, can you?
It's absurd, Shivani.
See, this is what I mean. I mean, there just seems to be this fashion just to blame the BJP regime for everything. So anything that happens, you know, yeah, simply raise that finger at the BJP government without applying any prudence.
You know what I think, Shivani? For the first time, however, I think there's more questions being asked to the BJP government about development than there were asked to previous governments before. And the reason why I think this is happening is because the assumption begins with the fact that Modi can do something. It's sort of aspirational questioning. You know, you are starting with the assumption that, okay, now there's a man who's claiming that he's done development, he's showing that you know, he got so and so accomplished, why not this? So then they're like questioning, okay, what happened to the schools? Why aren't teachers getting paid? Or why isn't that their water? Or why isn't there this? And why isn't there that? And why is there so much unemployment? I think I appreciate the fact that you know, they're coming and asking these questions because I think there's sort of a certain amount of faith in the ability of Modi to make it happen.
Yeah.
We never questioned Congress why there was no electrification, or we never questioned why there were no shauchalayas.
Was there anything to question?
Exactly, Shivani, because the assumption back then was government chor hai, neta chor hai, hence we can also do whatever we want with our life.
Yeah.
But now everyone is sort of being checked on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been for the last, 5 to 6 years, I've been going to India and specifically Bombay at least once or twice a year. And I have seen a difference. It is much cleaner than what it was several years ago. So
it's clean in all the ways, Shivani. I think it's clean, obviously, it's literally clean. And also, it's metaphorically, I think the government is getting cleaner. The whole, we haven't heard of any sort of corruption scandals in the past 5 years, which was so common to hear of in
nothing
a Congress
compared
government.
To what we used. Yeah, yep, that's right.
And I think this says a lot about Modi's personality. And of course, in a landscape like India, there's not going to be an overnight change. But I still feel that if there is someone who can sort of bring on a certain development that it's high time for our country to have, then it's Modi.
Isha, that's a great segue for us to talk about BJP's strong points in this election.
Yes, Shivani, let's talk about what BJP is sort of going with in this election. Obviously, it's not BJP's election, it's Modi's election. Modi's personality is ruling the narrative But what are the things that sort of both the parties are using in their favor to sort of run the election and to bend the vote in their favor?
Well, I mean, first thing that comes to mind, really, Isha, is probably religion and the role that religion plays in Indian politics. I mean, am I right?
Absolutely, Shivani. Religion has been the biggest political agenda ever since independence.
Yeah, I mean, one of the saddest aspects of our democracy is how the Congress Party continued with that British paradigm of divide and rule. I mean, the British effectively divided Muslims and Hindus and Christians against each other. And look, since independence, I'm sorry to say, but the Congress Party did just run with it. I mean, Rahul Gandhi wants to use the caste to divide and polarize voters.
I think they do it like ever so conveniently, Shivani. They definitely say that they are more of a secular party and they're not a communal party. And they always tout the BJP as Hindu fundamentalists, the saffron party. But I believe that both the parties are equally responsible for using and abusing religion bend the vote in their favor.
Isha, you reference the word secular. I mean, that is the most abused word, the most monopolized word by Congress, right? You preach secularism, but polarize. So politics of polarization in India, it's toxic.
Being secular in the true sense is not possible for our Indian politics. I mean, till the time they're going to keep on giving different rights to the Hindus and different rights to the Muslims. And till the time, I mean, you know, speaking of secularism, Congress was the first party that started discriminating against the Hindus and the Muslims. Why did it take our country so long to pass the triple talaq law? Why was the ruling in the Shah Bano case changed in the time of Rajiv Gandhi? Of course, there was an attempt to appease the Muslim voters at that time.
It's a ploy to again, continue with that divide and rule, right?
Divide and rule and appease...
Appease the minorities.
But Shivani, I mean, we cannot ignore the fact that for the political benefit, the BJP has used religion in politics. I mean, Modi's involvement in the riots, of course, there's no proof for it, but the story cannot be forgotten. And the fact that he has still kept the whole Mandir Yahi Banega issue going on. We're still talking about Ayodhya. We are still talking about Ram Mandir.
Which Rahul Gandhi refuses to comment on.
Yes, even though he uses religion in his politics as well.
Well, that's right, Isha. I mean, Congress says that Rahul Gandhi is a Janoidhari Brahmin. But I mean, the same Congress and the same Rahul Gandhi refused to basically characterize Sri Ram and the Ramayana as mythology.
I mean, Shivani, the whole Ram Mandir issue, I think it's been abused a lot, especially in the central and northern parts of India. We need to sort of move away from this issue. And the reason why I think religion is a really dangerous aspect to involve in politics, and even though we always do it.
Look, Isha, I agree with you 100%. But as a Hindu, you know, when you've got Congress coining terms like Hindu terror, saffron terror, I mean, will we ever move away from religion? I mean, it's Congress that are entangling the Hindu nationalism with terrorism. In like you said before, in a process to basically appease the minority voting bank.
That's true, Shivani. I think this is a formula for success that all the sides of the politics have realized. You know, they talk about development, they talk about finances, they talk about tax breaks, they talk about loans. At the end of the day, none of it matters as much as religion does. And that's sort of the dirtier side of it. And, you know, even the likes of Modi, you know, whether it's Congress or whether it's BJP, yeah, when it comes close to the elections, they all sort of go into that.
True secularism will neither favor minorities nor distort the traditions of the majority to demonize the latter.
That's true, Shivani. You couldn't have said that better. But I do get worried when we are taking the use of religion to the extreme in politics, Shivani. The reason that the thing that I have been really concerned about with the BJP is the election of the likes of Yogi Adityanath in the UP. I don't think that was a healthy move. I think that's a really scary turn that our country is taking. And it's like literally moving 20 years back. I mean, you're talking about development on one side. I support that. I am in favor of that. But it really scares me when people like Yogi Adityanath get so much power. You know, they sort of, they are the ones who are promoting the Hindu narrative. They are the ones who are bringing the conversation back to Ayodhya.
It's a farce, you know.
Yeah, Shivani. I mean, it was definitely disappointing to, you know, read all these stories about people being killed by the Gaurakshak Brigade, and you know, there's all these attacks on women happening by the so-called protectors of Sanskriti. Now, this was never Hinduism. Hinduism was, I mean, Indians fundamentally are known to be non-violent people. We're the land of Gandhi, and now we're seeing this whole rise of people, you know, using weapons and, you know, wearing a certain colored outfit and sort of trying to protect something that doesn't need to be protected. I mean, we don't need to protect any religion. It's there and it's got a place of its own. And I think that this is a dirtier side of what Modi is doing, to be very honest, Shivani.
It is. And look, if Hindus could have been terrorists in the name of religion and civilization, they would have. They would have done so after, you know, the Kolkata killings. They would have done so, you know, in the Mirpur massacre of 1947, or the Kashmiri Pandits, you know, when they were driven out of Srinagar and the Kashmir Valley. It's not who we are.
It's not who we are, and it's definitely not the direction that Hindus should be going into now. So I do really hope that if we are talking about a true development, and I do trust Modi to talk about true development, then that he should not be using this angle to win the elections.
And rightly so. And, you know, once it come 23rd, May 23rd, all this talk will be over.
I really hope so.
I mean, I do want to sort of highlight, you know, whilst we're talking about religion in politics, there is one thing which I commend the Modi government for, is basically removing that shyness around being a Hindu. You know, I am unapologetic about being a Hindu, and so should every other Hindu. And more so, you know, during the current political climate.
That's true, Shivani. So am I. I mean, I am unapologetic about being a Hindu too. And you correctly pointed it out. It's sort of become like, you know, like a gali to sort of, you know, be proud of your culture, be proud of your Sanskriti. Now, if I sort of have to talk about, you know, some part of Gita that excites me or that appeals to me, it suddenly gets touted as, you must be a Hindu fundamentalist. I mean,
that's right. Yep.
I don't think that's fair, Shivani.
It's not fair at all. You know, just because I support Modi and am pro BJP and am unapologetic about being a Hindu, it does not at all mean that I am not embracing of other faiths. I mean, my religion does not endorse that.
Absolutely.
It condemns that. So it's very narrow-minded to, you know, for people to think in such a manner.
You pointed that out so well, Shivani. And I think the reason why there is this, you know, there's suddenly this stigma attached to being a Hindu.
Exactly.
Is international media. I think international media is playing a huge role in that. you look at the articles about the BJP and about Modi in the New York Times, look at the recent story in the Times, they don't describe him as the Prime Minister of India. They describe him as a Hindu fundamentalist. Yeah. The word Hindu has become synonymous with terrorism all of a sudden.
Gosh.
It's the doing of the media.
It is the doing of the media. It certainly is.
And I think it's this sort of extreme use of media by both the parties that has completely diluted the real essence of coverage of a country, Shivani.
Yeah, Isha. Look, you raise a very good point there. And I have noticed that off late. A good journalism is having empathy and having commitment to the Constitution. It's holding governments accountable. It's covering and giving voice to the marginalized and the oppressed. Good journalism is not referring to the Prime Minister as a Hindu fundamentalist, no.
There's no reason why reputed media organizations should be calling him a Hindu terrorist or a Hindu fundamentalist, or just that narrative building about Hindus globally.
I mean, but then again, like, all these media houses have their own sort of political masters, right? Who set their guidelines and so forth.
They have their own political leanings, and we do know that how connected the likes of Shashi Tharoor are with the United Nations organization, with international media houses like the New York Times and the Time magazine. So
there you go. And you know, on the flip side, Arnab Goswami is not an exception as well. So
the nation wants to know.
It's out in the open, the political funding of Republic TV, right?
Oh my god, Arnab Goswami was a good journalist when he started out.
Yeah, look, he's good value. I think when he was back in the day when he was with Times, is it Times Now? Yeah.
Yes, Times Now.
Look, he in all due respect, he exposed a whole lot of Congress scams. He gave a voice to the youth. He exposed a lot of corrupt politicians. Ever since he's sort of he's joined Republic TV, he has become a bit of a, what's the word, Isha?
Buck.
What's a good bit of a buck? Yeah.
No, but I think Shivani, I think if you follow the time when sort of he resigned from Times Now, and then he was about to launch Republic TV, he went and he did like a few speeches where he discussed how his ideology changed. He discussed how the media organizations work, and he discussed what made him change his mind.
Oh, because I actually wasn't aware. So unlike the likes of Shatrughan Sinha, who one day is pro-BJP and then the next day is Congress member, right?
Of course, Shivani, that's true. I mean, he is an Oxford graduate. He is a journalist, and he has done some excellent journalism work back in his day at Times Now.
Yeah, yeah. He is very well spoken. I mean, that just explains it. Prolific speaker of the English language.
Most definitely. So for a journalist like him, or even for that matter, Rajdeep Sardesai, he also, these people, when they started off, they were extremely sort of balanced. They were being blamed for being pro-Congress when they had started out, and then they did become slightly balanced towards their time. So just because a journalist may be doing his research in a certain way and may be speaking in the favor of a certain initiative doesn't mean that his political leaning is changing in a certain direction.
Journalism's core sort of tends to be more based on the leftist sort of liberal discourse, right? Tend to see that, yeah.
But that's not what Indian news organizations, Indian media and Indian social media is doing right now. Now, the parties, the news channels have their obvious leanings. I mean, NDTV is more leftist, whereas, India TV and Zee News and the likes of those are more pro-BJP sort of news organizations.
Yeah.
There really, Shivani, is no place for us to sort of get a balanced, real...
There's not. And to be honest, there is not. I mean, people are... WhatsApp. People are basically... I think BJP actually targets or uses WhatsApp as a focal media strategy. And understandably so, given, you know, the Indian market is WhatsApp. Biggest market, but it was BJP that really kind of in their 2014 Lok Sabha elections, I mean, they were the ones that really sort of took the media strategy to a whole new level, right?
Absolutely. And now, I mean, it's also like, this is also the case all over the world, right, Shivani? Even with a country like US, fake news is the flavor of the hour when it comes to politics all over the world. And India is going all out when it comes to fake news. And as you rightly pointed out, using WhatsApp University, as it's called, to spread the most absurd news.
I think Delhi alone have something like 70,000 people working just on the social media strategy, and this is for BJP, and that's Delhi alone, so you can just imagine, I mean, all those messages being spread.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, as I was reading, as a journalist rightly pointed out, people are not sort of going on the streets. People are not going on into government offices and asking for data. They're sitting in the IT cell. They're just, you know, spreading fake news. That's sort of where journalism is going. And sadly, that's what is... helping people make their political decisions as well.
It's such a shame, isn't it? It's dirty, it's sly, and it's ruthless, Isha. Yeah. Yes.
But for me, I still think that there is development, and I still think that if anyone can do it, it's Modi.
Yeah.
But I do hope that the whole religious narrative doesn't get aired any further, because I think it could be going in a really dangerous path if this doesn't stop. So I hope that, I mean, I do see that he's doing it for the elections.
Yeah.
But I hope that these dirty games stop. But from the development perspective, I am hopeful for what Modi can achieve. What about you, Shivani?
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, I mean, my last thoughts just on that. I am really hoping, you know, that's the thing with Indian elections. You just never know. But I'm very hopeful that Modi will be in power again. I mean, you know, there's some key differences. One follows Hinduism and another follows Hinduism just before elections. So one's the strongest face of BJP, another the weakest face of Congress. So, yeah, I'm hopeful. That Modi can really turn things around and achieve bigger and better and greater things if he is re-elected. So,
yes, that's correct, Shivani. And that is the perfect note to end today's episode on. Thank you for listening to us, guys. We really hope you enjoyed listening to us, and thanks for tuning in.
Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcasting app. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and review us on iTunes. Stay tuned for our new episode next week. Till then, goodbye. Thank you, and Jai Hind.